Master Gunner, launch a Firebird. That'll get their attention.
Going to the launch pod, a sailor touched a loose fuse with the glowing tip of a seaweed stogie. The Firebird in the nest shook and leaped away on a spray of flame and smoke. The people on the wall gasped and went out of sight. Only a few remained.
Langford is dead!
Bullshit! Bring him to me right now, or I'll blast that wall apart. You got 10 seconds.
It's true, I swear.
What do you know? Some stud aced the monster of Cold Harbor. Must be one big son of a bitch. Hannigan, ace the man as soon as we know who he is. Don't want to have to fight anything that sent Langford into the ground.
Consider it done, sir.
The sergeant wrapped the shoulder strap of the Weatherby 30-06 around his forearm to help steady his aim. The antique was cumbersome, heavy to carry, and slow to shoot, but when one of its soft lead rounds hit, it was as if they'd been struck by lightning. It didn't matter how big and strong the Baron was. One shot, and it was all over.
Now open that gate!
Mercy, sir. We had no idea the crazy bitch was making black powder. She said gunpowder. We didn't know what it was until it was too late.
Make? Gunpowder?
Walking back a step, Brandon felt a chill run along his spine. It had finally happened. Some brain boy figured out the formula.
Open that bastard gate right now!
What?
There was a hum past his head. Both of the 50-caliber machine guns on the PT boats cut loose, the heavy-duty rounds raking the wall. Bricks shattered under the impact of the massive rounds, and SecMen toppled from view. Hannigan fired. The sniper reeled with most of his head gone. In reply, a cannon in the wall roared. A rain of shots harmlessly peppered the beach, churning the sand. But more SecMen replaced the fallen, and a dozen long blasters started shooting, gray smoke masking the gunmen on top of the wall. The pilot of the escort boat cried out as his chest erupted in blood, and he staggered along the deck from the wheelhouse, trying to hold in his guts.
Attack!
Lieutenant Brandon ran for PT-264 and wildly fired his blaster at the rebels above.
Cold Harbor, free forever! Cold Harbor, free forever!
A flurry of arrows hit the PTs, doing no real damage. Another cannon stridently spoke. The water between the dock and the boat rose in a tall geyser from a near miss.
Land ho! Cold Harbor, due west!
The smoky peak of the volcano came into view over the horizon as the huge wind jammers raced onward, sails bursting with the wind. Quickly, the rest of the jungle island rose from below the horizon. Some sort of mist was covering the ville, maybe a fog bank, but it hid the pirate fleet from the helpless landlubbers. There'd be no need to wait until night. This was the perfect time to attack.
Catch him with their pants down!
Giles limped to the railing with the aid of a crude crutch made from a tree branch. His left leg was gone from the knee down, the stump too tender yet to strap on a wooden peg leg. It hadn't taken Bachman long to acquire 7 other ships to stage a raid on as big a prize as a full shipload of black powder. And even if the captains and crews of their sister vessels weren't seasoned fighters, 8 windjammers was an armada. All counted, the fleet carried more than 100 cannons of assorted sizes. That was almost as much as the ill-fated flotilla that had attacked Maturo Island 100 moons ago. But this was no pre-dark fortress armed with firebirds and rapid fires. Just some fat fishermen with a bunch of old cannons, half of which probably didn't work. Standing at the wheel, Captain Bachman removed his wicker hat as he sniffed the air.
Is that peaty smoke I smell?
Look! Must be 12 other things in the harbor, Skipper!
Shit! Maybe the triple stoop Ville fucks didn't pay for all that black powder the Constellation was carrying. And now the Lord Bastard wants it back with interest.
Or maybe Kinnison's finally building a second fortress. Not gonna ruin in secret anymore. Just gonna take over island by island.
Always knew he'd try something.
If it's war the fat pussball wants, then let's give him some.
What about the other ships?
They'll do as they're told, if they want a piece of the booty.
Ready our blasters for a broadside. Solid shot and chain. We'll sink them before they even know we're here.
What about the Firebirds?
Can't hit what they can't see. The smoke from their own blasters will let us slip in and chill them all.
Bolson, pull sails. Tack on every yard of canvas the masts will hold. We'll charge right down their throats with guns blazing.
Our 30-pounders give twice the range of any other pirate. Blow them out of the water, we will.
Just as long as the Outlanders are mine. Got plans for that one-eyed fucker and his bitch.
Gonna take him a long time to die. Oh, yeah. A real long time.
In a spray of sparks, a Firebird rustled from its nest on PT-264 and streaked across the beach to slam into the Ville gate. The stout barrier was blown apart in a thunderclap, a dozen voices shrieking on the other side. A 50-caliber machine gun sputtered at the palisades of the wall. Another flight of arrows arced high into the sky and plummeted downward, hitting water and deck, but no flesh.
Another rocket!
Brandon reloaded his blaster. There was an odd whistling noise in the air. He realized what it was just in time to drop and cover his head with both arms before the barrage of cannonballs hit. Sand jumped on the beach, geysers rose from the water, bricks exploded outward from the Cold Harbor wall, and the dock violently shattered, spraying pieces of wood in every direction. On PT-144, SecMen screamed as the hail of splinters tore them apart like a shotgun blast.
Get moving! That's the Gibraltar out there! Her 30s can tear us apart!
Staggering along the deck, the crew was alive and undamaged, merely shaken from the terrible near miss. The hull bristled with splinters, and one man had a sliver sticking out of his arm that went completely through. Shock had him numb, and the sailor didn't even know he was wounded yet.
30-pound cannons. Dave, save our ass if those hit.
In agonizing slowness, the thumping of the engines increased, and the ship started to back away from the decimated beach. On the wall, the Ville SecMen cheered, and their 15-pounders boomed again. A line of splashes dotted the water around the three vessels in the middle of the harbor. A SecMen was slammed overboard. Two of the BDs launched Firebirds that streaked past the Ville and disappeared into the jungle beyond.
They missed? How can that be?
It's the smoke. The warheads can't see clearly.
Without the rockets for protection, the battle was going to get bloody fast. Speed was their only hope now. The Ville had no range, the pirates were large but slow, while the PDs could move like crazy once they got up full steam.
Pilot, give me a zigzag pattern! Don't let them track us for another hit!
Bastard pirates!
Hannigan fired his long blaster twice at the distant wind jammers. They were definitely in his range, but all of the exhaust fumes from their own engines, mixed with the discharges of the Ville's cannons, made it damn near impossible to target anything. Their forces divided, looking in the wrong direction. It was a perfect time for the Cold Hearts to stage an ambush. The PDs were trapped between two enemies, and the crossfire had already claimed one of their crafts. PT-144 was listing to starboard, clearly taking on water. Stationary, it was good as sunk. Beyond the breakers, the five PDs were already moving in a defensive pattern, crossing one another's wakes and circling back to confuse the enemy gunners. Then, the pirate cannons thundered again. Splashes announced all misses, except for the Ville. Cannonballs brutally impacted the weakening wall, smashing out chunks of masonry, men and debris flying everywhere. An arm landed on the beach, and a brick shattered on the boiler of the tilting PT-144, putting a deep dent into the metal. Instantly, steam whistled out of a tiny hole. Stumbling from the wheelhouse, the engineer walked around a leaking torpedo and shuffled across the bloody deck, trying to take in the sheer scope of the destruction. The rest of the crew was chopped into mincemeat, the hull broken wide open, the keel already resting on the sand at the bottom of the shallows. At least she couldn't sink any deeper. Glancing around for the sister boat, the engineer saw Brandon and the crew of PT-264 racing away from shore.
Hey, Lieutenant! Over here! I'm still alive! Come back, sir! Shit!
A hail of mini-balls hit the deck from the Vilsack men's flintlocks. He dove behind the tattered remnant of the sandbag wall, reaching for his own blaster, only to find the holster empty. Alone and unarmed, the man knew his chances for survival were zero. In a rush of blind anger, the engineer insanely stood and went to the firebird nest. The flintlocks fired again. But the ball ammo only tugged his clothing in near misses, but never found flesh. Bracing a boot on the smashed 50-caliber blaster, he managed to swivel the launch pod so that it faced the pirate ships. In the harbor, a hit slammed the Firebird pod of PT-75 overboard, taking 6 men with it into the drink. In response, PT-264 launched a lone Firebird that gracefully curved through the sky and punched through the hull of a pirate ship, detonating inside the vessel. Eliminated from within, the windjammer burst into a million pieces, flames licking upward to ignite the mainsail, even as the craft slipped into water.
Ha! One for us!
A humming mini-ball ruffled the engineer's hair. Grabbing a mooring line, the man lashed the rope around the pod, looped it over a cleat, then around his own waist. Lighting the main fuse with his match as it burst into sparkling action, he ducked low, holding onto the rope tightly. The pod jerked to the multiple launches. Firebirds erupted from the pod on a second. PT-144 rocked from the impact of another cannonball, and the rope slipped from his hands. Fast and furious, the Firebirds continued to launch, now heading randomly for new targets.
No!
The man reached for the pod. When it swung about, the hot exhaust washing over the deck, he was caught full in the face and promptly burst into flames. Ah! Ah! The man raced for the water but tripped over the wreckage and the dead again and again until he was completely disoriented and began to crawl blindly for the edge of the ship, his flesh black and peeling away from his bones. The snipers on the Ville wall ignored the burning man and turned their attentions to living targets. Spiraling crazily through the air, the full salvo of rockets from PT-144 went in every possible direction. A rocket zoomed past PT-264 in the harbor, but PT-53 took a direct hit in the wheelhouse, the captain and pilot volatilized by the blast, the rest of the crew on deck blown off the ship. Out of control, the vessel continued on its last heading and charged straight for the shore. Out beyond the breakers, the captain of PT-286 could only stare as a Firebird from shore streaked by through the smoke-filled air, heading toward the pirate vessels, then swept back across the Lord Baron's armada. PT-67 was hit amidships and lifted from the water by the sheer force of the blast. PT-99 was struck in the Firebird pod, the resulting detonation seeming to shatter the world. The rest of the Firebird streaked on to the pirate fleet, punching holes in the sails, detonating in the air, diving into the sea. Only one hit a vessel straight down from the sky, disappearing into the hold. A fireball welled from the guts of the ship, flame shooting out the gun ports and hatches. The rigging caught like fuses, spreading the blaze, till the ship was burning on every deck. Dozens of pirates leaped into the ocean, only to begin splashing madly as they found the water filled with sharks. Across the harbor, Brandon couldn't believe what he was seeing. 4 of his 10 gunboats annihilated by one of their own, only 2 enemy ships sunk.
This is a fucking disaster. Kinnison will pay for this.
Come on, men! Time for this Ville to die!
Billowing smoke covered the sea, lances of flames stabbing into the murky clouds as the giant windjammers thundered volley after volley, Cold Harbor Ville doing the same. Frantically dodging the crossfire, PT boats darted about, spraying the ships with machine gun fire, dropping the occasional torpedo or launching another Firebird, all the while being extremely careful not to hit any of their own ships again. Two of the PDs nearly collided in the chaos, and another just missed being crushed under the Gibraltar's foamy bow when it zigged instead of zagged. Midway between the breakers and the dock, the old fishing trawler was moored to the stump of an old gnarled tree lying on the silvery beach. Kneeling behind the gunwale, a sec man clutched his flintlock and watched the combat with a worried expression.
Baron Roth, we should join the other defenders in the build.
We stay and wait. Should be here any second now, Armstein.
What, a cannonball to blow us to hell? We must retreat to safety inside the Ville while we still can.
Try and you'd never get this boat 10 yards from shore. And stop shooting at the pirates. You're only wasting ammo.
Christie's new sec men did as they were ordered, but unhappily, and shared angry glances with each other.
This is bullshit. Lord Bastard's ships are getting slaughtered. Pirates, too. No way of telling who's gonna come out on top.
Creeping to the bow, Mildred risked a quick look at the noisy battlefield. The dead were everywhere, wrecks burning as they sank, the sharks going berserk in a feeding frenzy. And worse, a glow was rising from the jungle behind Cold Harbor. The firebirds that missed the Ville had set the jungle on fire, even more smoke thickening the sky and lowering visibility. It also neatly removed the possibility of running into the greenery to wait out the fight and steal a boat after it was settled. They were trapped, with the fire and the enemy ships forcing them toward the Ville's cannon.
Classic rock in a hard place.
Cannon to the left of them, cannon to the right.
Shee, poem.
Based on a very real battle.
Yeah? Anybody survive?
No.
A sudden thump sounded from the side of the trawler, and Dean rose into view, tossing a soggy backpack onto the deck.
Somebody give me a hand!
While the companions rushed to assist, Ryan climbed onto the craft and knelt behind the gunwale.
We've got to get off this thing. Sooner or later, somebody's going to spot movement and blow it out of the water.
Just been waiting for you, lover.
The munitions bag back where it belonged, JB hit the deck alongside the man and woman.
Find them?
Dean did.
Ryan reached into a pocket and passed over the glasses. Wiping them clean on a shirt cuff, JB slid on the spectacles, blinking a few times to focus his vision.
Hot damn!
Exchanging weapons with Mildred, the armorer checked the Uzi, then finally looked at the fight to see how it was going. Smoke obscured most of the action, but the cannons of the Ville roared defiantly, the shots hitting the large windjammers but missing every one of the darting Petey's.